Just Play It. GameFeature.de.
Hallo und herzlich willkommen bei GameFeature. Diesmal allerdings nicht bei einem Magazin und auch nicht bei einem Test, sonst diesmal haben wir ein Interview. Und zwar mit niemand geringeren als Nate von Sucker Punch. Natürlich geht's ums Thema Infamous und Nate habe ich ja schon getroffen bei der Präsentation in München. Hi Nate, welcome to our little German talking podcast.
Thank you for using English today. My German is horrible.
Yes, so is our English. So Nate, you've been to Munich, I know. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes, so we've seen each other in Munich when you did the presentation for Infamous.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So, hi Nate, welcome to our little German talking podcast.
Thank you for using English today. My German is horrible.
Yes, so is our English. But I can remember you threw in a little word we taught you in Munich, I think 3 or 4 times during your presentation. You remember it?
Spielplatz?
No.
Something
to eat.
Schnitzel? Wiener
yeah,
Schnitzel?
Yeah, right, that's the word.
That's the word, all yes. Right. That's yes. My that's what I like to eat while in Germany, just to
yep.
Feel what it's really like.
Yeah, and
the Germans actually eat Wiener Schnitzel for real? Is that a popular dish?
Yes, of course. I mean, it's traditionally an Austrian dish, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been taught to you by Austrians because there was also a little Austrian group, which I belong to, and. Yes, it's very popular, but I think you also got a fast food company over there. Isn't it called Wiener Schnitzel or something like that?
It's not in Seattle. I'm not familiar with that fast food company.
Okay, I've seen it in Los Angeles when I've been there. It's called Wiener Schnitzel.
Well,
they sell it like hot dogs.
Well, in Los Angeles, they're more culturally evolved than we are in Seattle. Seattle's a small town, man.
Hey,
by international standards.
But yeah, but you invented grunge, so...
We accept that, yes.
Nate, I want to talk to you at first a little from the beginning of Sucker Punch. Because,
sure.
Of course, now you're really... I say it nice, you're married with Sony, with PlayStation. But you
yes.
began on Nintendo 64, is that correct?
It's absolutely correct.
Yeah, I think it was Rocket, Robot on Wheels.
Did you play it?
Sadly, no. I didn't have a Nintendo 64. At that time, I already had a PlayStation.
No. Well, yeah, we did. Our first game was on the Nintendo 64, and for the 65 people that played Rocket Robot on Wheels, we tried to give them a good time.
But tell me, how did you get involved with PlayStation as a company that works exclusively with Sony? How did that come? I mean, you did Sly Cooper for PlayStation 2?
Yeah, so we made Rocket, and we realized that the games that we were enjoying the most at the time were games like Crash Bandicoot and Spyro the Dragon, and both of those games were made by Sony. So we tried to get in touch with them saying, we'd like to make a game like this. And we were lucky enough to get partnered up with a Sony producer that actually was the producer on Crash and Spyro. So that's they said, okay, we like your company. We like Rocket. It's a good demonstration of kind of ability to make a game. Make us a video game for PlayStation. And we made Sly Cooper.
So and from there, it involved, they've been happy with the game. Of course, as I know, Sly Cooper has sold very well, at least in Europe. I don't know how it did in the US. I think it also sold very well over there.
Yeah, it did pretty well. I mean, we were kind of always the smaller team in the portfolio of Sony games. So, you know, we were happy with it. I mean, I'll be honest with you. The thing that we're really happy with was just being, you know, paid to make video games. It's great. It's a dream come true. And the fact that the games were, that people liked them is just extra. It's bonus, because these were the kind of games that we wished we could make before we had jobs making games. So being able to do it is it's a dream come true.
I can imagine that really well. And then, of course, in 2009, Infamous came along.
Yeah.
And Infamous was a really great game when it came out.
Oh.
And yeah. It also did really well in terms of reviews and fan base, which ultimately led, as always, to Infamous 2.
Yes. Very true, very true.
And of course, now Infamous Second Son. I don't want to forget Festival of Blood, but it's more a standalone expansion. That's why I don't want to put it under the table. It's been there and it's been great too. So,
well, it's a little weirder, right? Festival of Blood, we made to kind of have some fun with the Halloween holiday. Is Halloween really popular in Germany?
Or no? It's getting more popular here every year, especially in stores. You see it everywhere.
Oh no, really? It's a merchandising holiday.
Yes, really. And the sad thing is really bad merchandising. You know those really really cheap made in China, made in Taiwan stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really blah. Yeah, and it's also. In Europe, it's more associated with horror. No one dresses up like in the States, like a princess or any funny stuff. Most just dress up as some kind of vampire, werewolves and stuff like that. It's more associated to the horror genre than it is like in the US, it's more like carnival. Everyone can dress up as he wants to. That's more fun.
Oh, man. You know, actually, I think it's an Austrian holiday. You tell me if I'm wrong. Where the demons from the mountain come down, and it's people wearing masks with antlers, and it's through a snow town. What, do you know what that's called?
Yeah, it's Berchtenlauf and the Krampus.
Is it an Austrian holiday?
Yes. Krampus.
We looked at it.
Is celebrated on 5th of December.
So that we looked at a ton of pictures of that holiday. For Festival of Blood, because we're trying to invent kind of like a scary holiday, and everything looks so cool with those monsters in the snow and fire everywhere, fire in the night, and just these freaky people walking through the middle of town. That was a big inspiration for us.
I heard some company in the States even wants to make a Krampus horror movie now. So
I believe that.
Yeah, I read it on some, one of the popular US sites. There are a few, we won't name them, but there are a few, everyone knows them, and there they had the news. Yeah, I'm really excited about it. It's more like a fright and fun day, and everyone freaks out, and lots of beer, lots of wine, lots of harder stuff to drink. It's funny. It's really funny. But in terms of fun... we could see that you had a lot of fun with Infamous Second Son. I mean, all these little Easter eggs. I mean, there's this little sly graffiti. You have an electronic shop called John McSee's Electronics, which is really cool. I had to make a screenshot on my PS4 with it from it. So how much fun was it compared to how much work was it to make Infamous Second Son?
Oh, I don't know, man. I mean, a lot of what we're doing is trying to make environments that we like or characters that we like or superpowers that we like, and they have to be fun, right? Like, we have to laugh when we think about things. So you kind of are doing a bad job if you're not having fun. Does that make sense? Like, you're not making a very good game if you're not enjoying making it. Because it's hard to imagine that the player will like the game if it's made by people who are just sort of slogging through and we're coming into work from 9 to 5 and just not caring.
And by the way, I love Infamous, but I'm too stupid to remember the name. Of course, it's Cole McGrath, not John McGrath. It's Cole McGrath, and of course, it's Cole McSee's electronic shop.
That's right. That is correct.
what I really liked about the game was, of course, the graphics. I mean, it really looks great, especially when you're having fun and you are using the powers. It looks really great. And there, for instance, the special moves look really great, especially the smoke special move. I don't want to talk about too much, because not everyone played the game yet, so we won't want to spoiler them too much.
But, that's good of you. Thank you. As a guy who has had many movies ruined for me by people who give away the ending, you're a good person for keeping silent about special secrets.
No, you kept it special on your presentation also. So I mean,
yeah,
this white fade out was really bad. It was really bad.
Sorry, man. Yeah, that was. I don't know. It's a bind, because all you want to do when you make a game is you want to share it with people. That's what you want to do most, because you're so excited about it. But at the same time, you know that you want to give players new things to discover. So you end up kind of wrestling with yourself, trying to decide what's the right thing to show.
Why? Why did you choose that? That's one thing I always thought about. Okay, we all know there are different endings in Infamous 2. And why didn't you bring back Cole? What was the reason for not bringing back Cole? I mean, we know it from movies and other video games and comics. You know, everyone can come back. Yeah, even in Dallas, people came back who were shot. So why not Cole?
Well, we shipped Infamous 2, and at the end of the game, there's this big choice if you want to let Cole sacrifice himself to save humanity or to kill humanity to save himself.
Yeah.
And the majority of players decided to sacrifice Cole and let him die, about 78%. And we looked at trophy data to get that number. And because the Infamous franchise is about choice and consequence, we said, okay, people decided to have him die. Let's just honor that. Let's have him die.
Mm-hmm.
So he's dead.
Oh.
The players made the call.
Yeah, I have to admit it's also my fault. I also sacrificed him.
You murderer!
Yeah, I
can't believe
Cole.
You did that.
Yeah,
I like Cole. Why would you do that to him?
Yeah, but I have to say I like Delsin. Delsin is this kind of not really grown up rebel punk who thinks he's the best, just stealing everyone's time. If you really think about it. And then he something like grows to a hero. It's really fun to play him.
Oh, man, I'm glad to hear that. We were certainly trying to make a character that enjoyed having his powers in the same way that we think players are going to enjoy having their powers.
But one thing during the gameplay I really thought about, and you told it to us at Munich, was the fact that you can't swim in the game.
Yes.
How has it been decided that you can't swim? Did you test it? Did you build in that part and you swam around and it sucks, it's too slow? Or did you just from the beginning say, no, we don't want the feature because it slows the game down?
Mainly, we wanted to get people back into action. We thought people are getting into this game so they can use their powers, jump off of buildings, run like at the speed of light down streets, blow up cars. There's not a lot to do in the water, and it definitely keeps you out of the fight while you look for a place to climb out. So we said, just let people get back into action as soon as possible.
Yeah, I just was a little, when I first played the first version, it was before Munich. It was press day at Sony, and I could play a little bit. It was mainly, as you remember, of course, the same level you presented, just, I think, two or three versions before.
And oh, really?
I had the neon power, and I was jumping over buildings and stuff like that. And then I came to the water, and it was like, boop. It was like a Ferrari without engine. I thought, hey, what? I just ran up a 10-story building, and now that? And I personally thought, at first I thought it was a glitch. I have to be honest. But
okay,
it makes sense. It makes sense in terms of getting out fast and fight again. So
well, I'm sorry that if it feels like a glitch, then it's a problem, right?
It doesn't feel like a glitch, but the first time when you play it, because you're used to it from other games, everyone everywhere wants to swim. If it makes sense or if it doesn't make sense. But everyone says, why can't I swim? Ah, we need to swim. Yes?
Yeah, right.
Okay, I'm fighting with 30 bad guys, shooting neon and looking for smoke to get new energy, but I take a swim. So I think it's okay because you couldn't fight anyways in the water. So it's better to get back into action fast. Yeah, that's my opinion.
Yeah.
Others may of course vary. So. And you also have, I don't know if everyone who listens to us knows this, you also have, of course, Paper Trails online now. We got part 1, 2, 3 at the moment. And is there great fan base about the Paper Trails?
Well, it's our first experiment with this kind of gameplay that expands beyond just the disc itself, right? It's not just Second Son. It's on the internet, and then you kind of have this dance between the internet and the game. And we've seen a lot of users get into it. I really hope people give it a shot because it creates this different vibe, where Second Son just fills the World Wide Web, and there are secrets to uncover and mysteries. Who doesn't like that kind of stuff?
What I also like is it's really something new, something different a little bit. Just not sitting in front of your PlayStation, but you also turn on your computer, can play a little bit, get back to your PlayStation, get something again. That's okay. I think it's really nice because it also works. It works very well with your account when it's linked. So I think it's a good idea. You did well.
Well, I hope you enjoy. There's more Paper Trail coming. So I sit very near the guy who keeps working on it. So
yeah,
I'll let him know that you're enjoying it. That'll make his day.
Tell him we need more. Yep. Tell him we need more. Yeah.
All right, I will.
One thing I can't. I have to ask you. I'm a movie fan myself, and I watch tons of sci-fi movies, tons of horror movies. But every time I watch the DUB stations, I have to think about one movie. And that's Escape from New York and, of course, the sequel Escape from L.A.
Really?
That's
the DUP?
Yeah. It looks like future, the central station out with Lee Van Cleef walking. I think it looks like that. Yeah, it really reminds me also the whole world and stuff like that really reminds me of Escape from New York. I don't know why, because it's concrete walls, and you have like these steel walls. But I don't know. It seems futuristic in a town or in a part of a town where it doesn't have to be.
Well, that's interesting. I should go back and watch that film. That was completely unintentional. That's a great movie, Escape from New York, but I'll be honest, it wasn't something we were really thinking about. Maybe it was just in the back of our heads all the time, and we just didn't even know we were referencing that, but that's an interesting call.
Did you have any inspiration? I mean, we don't talk about copy art of movies, but you get your inspiration from somewhere. I mean, may it be a book or a movie, or another video game, or something you saw on TV. Where do you guys get your inspiration for stuff like that?
Well, a big one, I think it's pretty obvious, is Banksy. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you're familiar with that guy, that artist.
Yes, Banksy. I know his name. I don't know all his work, but I know his name.
So he's just this illegal street artist that goes out and he paints these pictures, and nobody knows who he is. He's like an artistic Robin Hood. And that vibe to me is so awesome. Really, anybody who goes out and does that kind of that illegal street art, I think is a hero when they're expressing something that's not just destructive, but has like a message to it, a political message. Mm-hmm. And it creates a perfect kind of hero character in relationship to the state, who, in my opinion, in recent years has become pretty evil in their desire to monitor what we as citizens are doing, you know, through security cameras on every corner or tapping into cell phones. And, you know, our freedom is being taken away and we just kind of are okay with it. So the juxtaposition of somebody who's this kind of free-spirited artist like Banksy versus the state to me is where a lot of the tone of the game comes from.
And of course, we have to talk about the soundtrack you have, which
which
I had really problems because when we made our review podcast for Infamous, usually we take some of the music from a game and stuff like that, maybe from the end credits. We couldn't do that with Infamous because, of course, because of copyright issues. Because we don't want anyone to sue us because of that. With some record company or something like that. But tell our listeners, who did the music? It's really great.
So the music is done by three composers. Brain, Mark Canham, and Nathan... Oh, God, what's his last name? Johnson, Nathan Johnson. We got these three composers because each one had a different kind of sound that they brought. Nathan Johnson's really into kind of found sounds. He makes music out of just sound effects. Brain, this kind of old school rock dude, has this kind of really strong, dramatic sense to the way his songs build and break. And they sound very, man, I don't know, like contemporary. And then... Mm-hmm. The third composer has an awesome, Mark Canham, he has an awesome sense for a scoring emotional beats inside of you know, movies and games, too, so that you can kind of understand what the characters are going through on this very subconscious level. We got them all together. We met up in Seattle. We went out. We talked about the style of the game. And then the three of them collaborated for about a year, building the soundtrack, where one guy would work on it, they'd hand it off to another one, and then he would add his thing, and then they'd pass it around. And that kind of collaborative environment is where the sound of the game was made.
And of course, you also had, great actors in your games. I mean, they're really beautiful girls that made the vocals. I mean, Natalie Lander, yes. And of course, you also had, what's her name, Lila Birch and Laura Bailey and stuff like that.
Okay, yeah, we have Laura Bailey.
Guys too.
Some guys. Yeah, yes. Laura Bailey, man. She's my favorite. Well, no, I really, yeah, she's one of my favorites. She's fun because...
Don't talk too much now.
Oh, do you think that I don't want my girlfriend to hear this story.
Yeah, or maybe the other actresses.
Right. Piss them off.
Yeah, right.
Good point. Yeah, all right. I take it back. They're all my favorite.
Yes, for all our German listeners who don't know the name Laura Bailey, just watch Mr. Brooks with Kevin Costner. She made the vocals for Resident Evil Degeneration, the CGI movie. You can hear her voice in Halo 4 and, of course, now in Infamous Second Son. So, yeah, she is a well-known name. Also in Knack for the PS4. Yeah, we don't have so much PS4 exclusive games now. So, an actress doing vocals on two games is really good.
Oh, yeah, she's everywhere. She gets a lot of work. Although, did you know that she is married to Travis Willingham, who's the actor who plays Reggie in the game?
No, I didn't know that.
Oh, yes. Yes. So, I don't know I don't want to spoil it, but there's some interesting moments where Fetch and Delphin get closer and start flirting with each other, and poor Travis Willingham was on the stage having to watch his wife and his best friend flirt.
And
his best friend being Troy Baker, who played Delphin.
And of course, Troy Baker is also well known.
Yeah,
I think especially, of course, you know him as the Joker, Harvey Dent from the Batman games. He's been in Bioshock Infinite, of course, in The Last of Us. So he's also really well known game for video games. It must be, I don't want to say easy, but it must be very good to know this, that guys like that and girls like that make the vocals for your game, what? Doesn't it?
Oh my God, it is right to use the word easy. I'm a lazy man. Hiring people that are really, really good at their job makes it easy for me to sit there and just enjoy the wealth, the variety of options that they bring to a performance.
So it's
the reason that these people get so much work is because they're good at their job.
Yeah, right. Of course. I mean, it's like everywhere. If you spend a little more, you get better quality, and this quality usually in faster times. It's like hiring some electrician or something like that. If you spend a little more money, you get a better one who does the job better and faster. So it's really cool.
Yeah, that's true. It's a pretty abstract thing. Like, oh, we need this character to be likable. That is so just about the nuance that actors have in them. You know, it's nothing you're going to manufacture and revisit and change. It's something that the actor has to have naturally.
In terms of time, I mean, it's one of the first exclusive games for PS4. How much time did you have to develop this game? I mean, of course, Sony and everyone else wants a game out as fast as possible, I think. And did they give you enough time and tell you, okay, bring it out a few months later and it's okay then, before we have some kind of fiasco just to get it out?
They were pretty mellow, man. And on the timing, we started working on Second Son after Festival of Blood. And we just kept working on it until it was ready to ship. Of course, when we started on Second Son, the specs for the PS4 weren't defined, so we were kind of guessing. Mm-hmm. And then we kind of changed the engine as the PS4 became better and better defined.
Is it easier to make games for the PS4 now than for PS3?
Yeah. So I'll be honest, I come from an art background, so I've never done any programming, but all the programmers say it's a lot easier because it's more like a standard PC.
Okay.
But I'd be lying if I could tell you how it was easier, just that they get things made and put into the game a lot faster now.
Mm-hmm. I've heard from a few smaller companies that Sony is and PlayStation is now really also getting into the smaller companies and help them develop games, help them with the hardware and software to bring out even more. So Sony really is interested to bring this console to a much wider audience, it seems, than with PS3 now. So even more developers can do stuff which is good for us gamers. Yeah,
That's news to me. I didn't know that they were really reaching out to a lot of indie developers, but that's fantastic to hear.
Yeah,
I feel like so many great innovations in gameplay come from indies now that we need as many as possible.
We heard it from a company who already has a game out on PSN. And they said that Sony really reached out and have been really great to them in terms of what they can do technically and stuff like that. So it's really cool to hear that. I hope this was not just promotion talking. So I really wish they do, because it's good stuff. And
well, we'll see. I mean, it will show up on PSN, right? Like, if they make that claim, you just got to wait 6 months and we'll see how many games show up. I hope it's a ton.
Yeah, I hope too. What about the future of Sucker Punch? I mean, I know I will get the usual answer now. I can talk about it. What plans do you have?
I can't talk about it. I'm sorry.
But maybe a little hint. Will it be a new game, or will it be something we can use for an not too much, not so old game now? You know what I mean? You can give a little hint?
I cannot say. I would love to tell you. Like I said earlier in this interview, all I want to do is talk about the games, but we're kind of told to keep it under our hat and I can tell you this, Sucker Punch is still making video games, and I and the rest of the team are hard at work on video game fun. Yeah. Sorry, that's a lame answer, dude, but that's all I can say.
I'm honest, it's the answer I always get. No matter who I ask. If I ask game producers and game companies, or even when we ask with movie feature our podcast, when we asked directors and scriptwriters and actors, what's your next project? I can't tell you. It will be something, but I can't tell you now. Oh yes, one. I'm not allowed to tell his name. One told it, and we had to cut it out then. So.
Are you kidding?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's horrible.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry. That's...
Yes, he told it to us, and you know, usually we will also send our podcast to Sony and to you guys, so you can listen to it, and if you want to change something or want to have something cut out, we will do it. No problem with that. And of course, we had to send it. And then I was told, you have to put this out. And it also, they're also a little bit... Like problem stuff with producers, and because of legal reasons, we have to put it out. Yeah, no problem, we can cut it. That's why we are not doing live interviews. That's why we're doing podcasts. And because we're in Europe, you can swear as much as you want. Yes?
Really?
That's a funny thing. We can show tits, we can show everything. Yeah? We can.
Let's hear some swearing, Betty. What do you got? What? Let's hear some swearing.
Let's do some swearing. Yeah. Fuck the DUP.
Yeah,
we can do that, and I think Sebastian will make it happen that this will stay in the podcast. So if you want to say anything, say it. Yeah, that's a good thing. We are allowed to do that. We can show naked women. Yeah, we are not allowed to show violence. That's a difference. We can't show Telsin beheading some DUP guy, but we can swear. That's okay. So we'll get an NC-17 rating now as podcast in the US. Who knows? Maybe they block our IP, but we don't care.
Fuck the DUP, man.
Yeah,
that's great.
The DUP. Yeah, it would have been a great graffiti, but of course you can't do that in a game. I mean, I understand that. Although I wish that some games could have been made a little bit more mature. So you know what I mean? Not much. It doesn't have to be too extreme, but something. Sometimes I really think that would have been different. But we have to look at some age registrations. Is that a problem you have when making games, that you have to put down something because you know we have to make like an age 16 rating, we have to get it because we can sell it better? Is that something you have to think about often?
A little bit, but I'll tell you the real reason that we make games targeted at the age range we do is that we as game makers don't want to make something that we're embarrassed to show our friends and family. Mm-hmm. And I think some video games that are for older audiences really just delight in being violent in kind of a immature way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we're just not really interested in making games like that. I mean, some of my favorite movies of all time are very appropriate for people of a very wide age range, like Star Wars,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And... you know, I don't see the reason for a lot of just rough, ugly violence if it's not helping to tell the story or provide an experience that's worthwhile.
I mean, it's really, really, really nice to see that in Famous, you can destroy a lot of stuff. You can, really, really fight with the DUP guys and show them who's better. But it's never too extreme. I like that. I don't need to see thousands of gallons of blood flowing through the air and stuff like that. If the action is well done, it is well done. If it has blood or not, doesn't make a difference. It's my opinion. I know many don't see it that way.
Well, it's our hope is that people, you know, understand that. I mean, there's still violence in the game, right? Like, you are beating people up with your fists and a chain. Like, it's there, but it's not... you know, it's not pulling off a guy's head and wrapping his spine around your neck as a fashion accent. We don't do that kind of thing.
I honestly
it's
have to say...
It's superhero violence.
Yeah, it wouldn't fit to the game, I think. I think it wouldn't fit to the game.
I agree with you.
Yeah, alone the character, Delsin, yeah, if you look at him, it wouldn't fit to him. You wouldn't believe it if he would make it, I think. Yeah, he's not this Arnold Schwarzenegger kind of guy, and which takes fuck the DUP seriously. It's more the like, okay, I know I can do it, I show it to them. So like the nice kind of revenge guy. So
well, yeah, I agree. It's not that kind of game.
And you're still flying around the world because of Infamous making appearances, or you have a little holiday now with your family?
I had a little holiday after the game was done, and now I'm back at Sucker Punch, and we're working on more video games.
That's great. That's great to hear. Also, the critics have been very good. The reviews have been very good. As far as I know, the game does sell really well. Yeah, I think it was one of the more most pre-order sales that many other games had, which is really cool. Yeah, I think in the UK it had more pre-order sales than Last of Us, which is really amazing because Last of Us really had a lot of games sold with pre-order. So that's good news for you. So that means you get enough money for Infamous 4?
we'll see.
Let me try it. I have to try it.
Yeah. Well, time will tell, man. I mean, the game's just come out, so we'll see if people, you know, if people seem to like it so far. So that's good to see.
Yeah, and what I really like, I really have to tell you, I really like it that you didn't put in some kind of really bad multiplayer just to have one.
Hey, yeah? Cool. Thank you. That's always a tough choice, you know?
Yeah,
you have to decide if you're going to spend half your programming staff making a multiplayer suite because it's what people do now. But so often, they just feel tacked on and just pointless.
No, it's like, I have to be honest, it's like some games using the move feature or stuff like that. You know it doesn't fit. It doesn't fit. It's just there to say on the package, move. Yeah, great. But
yeah,
if you try it out, and most of the multiplayers is like that now. I mean, there are a lot of games who just don't need a multiplayer. Yes, we all know this team deathmatch games and stuff like that. And I wouldn't even know how it would work with Delta and Infamous. So...
Well, that's true. What? You know, a lot of our moves that Delson has will not work in a multiplayer environment because we slow down the clock. We may put the world in a very brief slow motion to make the moves feel heavier hitting. And if you were doing a real-time deathmatch, none of those things would feel right. They would feel totally different.
Why the decision to take a real existing city instead of a made-up one? Why Seattle? I mean, the Space Needle is cool. It's a cool feature to have the Space Needle, but it has to be more than just the Space Needle. Or not.
Yeah, totally. So we wanted to make a game that felt very, very real. When you walked in the streets of the city, you believed that this place could exist and does exist. So, we went with Seattle. Seattle is where Sucker Punch is located. And we thought we could do a great job going into the city, taking photographs of the way that rain looked on street corners, the way trash piled up, recording the sounds of seagulls by the wharf, or even getting local bands to make music that you can hear out of bars. And we did all of that work to create a city that felt very real, so that when the player got access to these superpowers, they would think that those powers were real too. That was the big goal, was that foundation of reality.
I really
also,
like
Seattle's
it.
Seattle's cool. It has really gloomy weather that makes it feel like something nasty and big is about to happen.
Well, I have to admit that I've never had the chance to visit Seattle.
What?
Yeah. I've been to the Sears Tower in Chicago. It has a new name now, I think. When I was there, it still was the Sears Tower. And... I've been to the CN Tower in Toronto, but I've never, sadly, never visited the Space Needle. Yeah, yeah, I have to admit it.
It's waiting for you in Second Sun.
Well, I've been up there and I did a lot of devastation up there. blew up all the DUP shit. Yeah.
Well, that's the stuff, man. It's kind of like that. I mean, playing Second Sun is a much cheaper ticket to Seattle than actually getting on an airplane.
I would like to play Tales in Seattle. So that would be great. No, but it's always a lot of fun for players to play in a city that does exist, where you have certain points of view you just know. Even someone from Vienna, like I know this the Space Needle. Yes, I think almost everyone knows the Space Needle. So that's always great to play, instead of playing in a futuristic city where you can do stuff you want. Nobody knows if it has to be real. Yeah. I think it's also a lot harder to do something that has to be or has to feel real because it's real already.
I agree. But I think the payoff's there. I mean, everybody wants to... in the case of a superhero game, you really want to not have the action feel like a cartoon. You want to make it feel like it's the real deal. I mean, I think that modern superhero movies do this really, really well.
So, Nate, thanks for taking the time, and you did take a lot of time to chat with us. It was really great. Lot of cool news. Lots of fun, of course. And... yeah, good luck to you and, of course, the whole team from Sucker Punch.
Thanks.
And I'm waiting for the projects you are not allowed to talk at the moment.
I hope you enjoy them.
Yeah, auf jeden Fall eine coole Sache, ein Interview mit Nate. Jede Menge Interessantes, jede Menge Tolles. Hat ja nicht umsonst 40 Minuten gedauert. Und ich kann euch nur raten, hört euch unseren Test an, spielt das Spiel, ist wirklich gut, cool mit Delsin durch die Straßen von Seattle zu rocken. Das macht Spaß. Infamous Second Sun, jetzt überall für euch im Handel. Und natürlich auch im Store. Grüß euch, tschüss.
Alle weiteren Informationen findet ihr auf gamefeature.de.